Kutcher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Horford hands to Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown up fakes, steps back behind the line. Off balance three is no good. Smart can't get the rebound. LeBron has got it. He will race into the front court against Marcus Morris. LeBron fights through. Goaltend and the foul. And LeBron James, who has done everything there is to do in the NBA, is going to take a team that no one believed in and bring them back to the NBA Finals.
Yes, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Kutcher and Rich. And Danny Ainge is the vice president of basketball operations. Do I have that vice president? Well, I have vice president. I'm really kind of the president of the whole thing. I mean, if you think about it.
You're the guy?
Yeah. Regardless, this is a good way to kick things off. Danny Ainge, I think people are aware of your position with the Boston Celtics. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys this morning?
Congratulations for exceeding expectations this year and getting in as far as you did.
Well, thank you. I do feel like it was a fun group, and I think overall they probably did exceed expectations, but that doesn't take away from the sting of the loss. I felt like you can't say you should or could have won a game, but we definitely had many chances to win that game in Game 7.
What could the Celtics have done differently? Like, what would, if you could do it all over again? Other than make shots, is there anything that you believe they could have done differently?
There's always second guessing on those things, but overall, like, the defense was terrific. But overall, I thought it was our best defensive game of the season. And just offensively, we struggled making baskets.
Why do you think that was? Do you think it had to do with the youth of your team, or did you think it was just one of those days?
You know, it's a good question, and I've wondered about that. Is it like we expended so much energy and so much intensity and emotion into the defensive end, and does that take away from your offensive end? You know, that's always a question, to make players play like a quarterback on offense and play like a linebacker on defense. It's a very delicate balance there.
Can you kind of clarify what was going on with Kyrie and why wasn't he there in Game 7?
So Kyrie, we had planned on doing this, you know, with the playoff schedule so unpredictable, you know, you don't know where you're going to be from week to week. We had planned Kyrie to get his, you remember he wore his mask the whole first half of the year. He had this deviated septum that he needed to get fixed and surgically repaired. And while he was, you know, and he couldn't do it while he was recovering and on the antibiotics from the other surgery. So this was just a time that we had planned to get Kyrie back as quick as he can on the court. So that's why he wasn't at Game 7. But Kyrie was in contact with us, in contact with coaches, in contact with players. We had all of Cleveland scouting reports, and he gave us all the information. I mean, he was in constant contact with us, except there for a couple of days just while he had the surgery and was recovering.
What day did he get the surgery?
I don't remember. Maybe Thursday of that week? Maybe Wednesday? I'm not sure. I don't remember when exactly it was.
Okay. And the criticism is, and it's one that I actually had, is, you know, for a surgery like that, isn't that something that could be easily moved? I mean, the value of Kyrie Irving being there and possibly seeing something that the Cavaliers were doing, or even just being a calming presence for somebody like Terry Rozier, don't you think that that was valuable enough for him to possibly consider moving his surgery a few days back?
Well, I don't think it's as easy as you went. He was in, he had the surgery done. He wasn't in Boston. So the travel after the surgery, listen, I don't think it's a big deal at all, personally. He was with Kyrie, or with Terry, and communicating with Terry all along, and having him sit on the bench to calm Terry's nerves. I don't know. Our coaches, by Game 7, you know every single play that they're running, every play they ran the whole year.
If you were playing and you were in that situation, would you have been on the bench for Game 7?
You know, it's a tough call, because if I'm Kyrie, I mean, Kyrie is dying to not be playing, and he just wants to make sure he gets out. And what he's been through with the surgeries that he's needed, I don't know. I mean, I think that taking care of the person and the team, is sometimes there are conflicts, and I know he just wants to get back out on the court and play, and he's been amazing. Him and Gordon both have been unbelievable at trying to get themselves ready for next year.
So where was he location-wise? Just to clarify, Kyrie during Game 7, where was he?
I think he was at home with his daughter and father in New Jersey.
Okay, he was in New Jersey at the time. All right.
Gordon Hayward had the metal and the screws taken out of his leg. And then there was talk about there was a little bit of a follow-up procedure to get some of the other stuff out of there to clean it up a little bit.
I think people were surprised by the phrase second surgery.
Right.
When it came out yesterday.
So can you kind of keep us up to date and explain what happened with him?
Yeah, I mean, Gordon felt like he was making great strides, getting close, but there was a pain. He still had a little bit of pain in one little spot. Persisted over the last couple months, and they felt like it was being caused by the hardware, and they just took the hardware out. They did some testing on it. They just felt like they were going to get the hardware out, and his bone had completely healed, and the muscles and tissue and everything is all healed, and they just wanted to get that hardware out. So was the safest bet of him being 100% by next year. There wouldn't be lingering effects.
Okay, so the biggest decisions you guys are facing is, you know, what's going to happen with Marcus Smart. And, you know, there's a situation where Marcus Smart could get offered, you know, a decent amount of money from another team. And let's just say for some reason it was an amount of money that maybe that you guys wouldn't feel comfortable matching.
Rich, Marcus Smart, right after Game 7, was talking about how much money you think he thinks he's worth. Do you think that was an appropriate time to start addressing his contract?
A lot of players talk about that, and they're free to say whatever they want in those regards and talk about their value publicly. Obviously, I don't negotiate in the media with my players, but, you know, listen, Marcus, we need Marcus. Marcus is a good player. He provides a lot of energy for our team, and, you know, I hope that we can work something out going forward.
It doesn't sound like you were overly thrilled with him addressing it right after Game 7.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, I wouldn't, but a lot of players do. So it's his prerogative.
How do you think that kind of takes away the disappointment of what happened? You know, how well the team played and how many chances they had to win. Do you think that can give the impression that, you know, he got over that a little too quickly?
No, not at all. I know Marcus was not happy. He was very sad and frustrated with our team with that loss in Game 7. In no way. I mean, it's just simply he's got a million cameras in front of him, a bunch of mics in front. It's not like he's coming out and saying, hey, I need this. Someone was asking that question and persisting on, like, you know, like, well, what do you think you're worth? And he just answered it in his honest opinion.
Okay, so let's say he does end up getting, you know, more money from somebody else than you guys would be willing to spend. Do you feel confident that with you and Brad Stevens, you would be able to find somebody and hopefully mold them into something that is close to the kind of playmaker defensively that Marcus Smart is?
Everybody is replaceable. We learn that as players fairly early in our careers when there's trades that happen or when some injuries happen. And we're all replaceable. We'll be able to move on and move forward without any players. And nobody is irreplaceable, but Marcus is certainly a player that has been big for us over the last few years.
All right, Danny, do you have a Twitter burner account?
I didn't even know what a Twitter burner account was until a couple of days ago.
Because people are thinking that it's Janos NBA Twitter account, the huge Celtics fan that's a mystery to everyone.
Yeah, like I like that, actually. That's a huge compliment.
You're a smooth operator, is what they're saying.
Out there, there's a Twitter account called @ChipotleLover777.
@isJanos, that's my secret, you know, whiskey drinking account. I can pretend to be a whiskey drinker and eat a lot of soup.
Yeah. They'll immediately know it's not you. You're a shrewd man, Danny Ainge.
And to have an unemployed son. He's who I always wanted to be.
That account is pretty phenomenal, to be quite honest. What'd you think of that whole situation with, you know, you've got a GM who's being accused of tweeting, like, critical stuff about all the players? I mean, what would you think if you're a player, you're someone in the organization, and that story breaks?
You know what? I'm going to reserve judgment there. I hate how as a society we just jump to these conclusions that people are guilty. You know, Brian is a. I've known him for a lot of years. He was my general manager when I was coaching in Phoenix with the Phoenix Suns, and I got along great with Brian and his father Jerry. And so I'm just going to stay away from that one right now, and I hope that it's all found to be not true.
Well, do you wish that people would just get off of Twitter? I did.
Well, you needed to because you were taking Ambien.
Well spoken, Danny. Spot on.
Danny, I used to think you were screwing around, but I have a feeling you've listened to this. But I didn't say anything racist. I didn't go Roseanne.
That's true.
No, you did not.
Good for you.
You did not go Roseanne, and I don't know if you should be awarded for that.
Now, Danny, was it titillating at all when you saw me in my shirt and my no shirt and my underwear?
I have to imagine. All right.
Well, listen, if Jano starts leaking information about Gordon Hayward's ankle, we know where it came from there, Danny Ainge.
Okay.
All right. Well, everyone keep your eyes on Josh Okogie from Georgia Tech. That's who they're taking in the 27th.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I've heard.
Fair enough.
All right. Danny Ainge, thank you so much for everything all season, and hopefully we can talk to you sooner than later.
All right, guys.
Don't try to not take any sleeping pills. Thank you.
All right. See
you. Right, see you, man. First of all,
big respect for Danny Ainge.
Well, he's great.
Seriously.
And by the way, I apologize for the phone going in and out, but at some point, it's just you got to move on.
Right.
You continue with the interview. But my God, that dude just. Have you seen the It's Jano's NBA account?
Yes.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Barstool's convinced that it's him.
Well, I mean, it's not him.
It's convinced that it's him.
It's not him, but it's funny that, like, when he's being accused of it, he's letting that mystery just go.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like, yesterday he just tweeted out an emoji going, shh.
Yeah, why? Yeah.
Don't tell anyone.
Why dispel it, dude? Yeah.
I wonder how much he listens to the show or how much he's briefed on it.
Who do you think briefed him on you with your Ambien video? I don't think that's something you get forwarded.
Honestly?
I wonder if that went around the locker room.
Well, he fucked. This is the guy giving his opinions on your careers.
Right.
This is the ambient Fred going around.
Oh, boy.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I don't really know what words I can describe that are fit for FCC airwaves explain the tragic decisions by J.R. Smith. You talk about a sleep at the wheel. I got to tell you something right now. That is as inexcusable of a mistake as you can possibly make. It is rare that I am relatively speechless. That moment has officially arrived. I don't know what to say. It is one of the most brain-dead, idiotic things that I've ever witnessed
in
covering basketball life. In the case of J.R. Smith, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say, Scott.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app in the iTunes Store or Google Play. You will not be sorry.
There are about 15 things, Fred, in that game that would have been the story if it wasn't for J.R. Smith completely blowing it for the Cavs last night by forgetting what the score was. First of all, there was a...
Very quickly, the previous CBS Sports Minute was brought to you by Jeff Carbone Insurance. So if you're just waking up and you didn't watch the game like I did, I didn't watch the game. It was late and I didn't think anything of it, so I that's on me. But I have seen the highlights. The big story from last night's game is that George Hill made a free throw to tie the game with 5 seconds left in regulation. He misses the second free throw. J.R. Smith gets the offensive rebound.
Right under the basket.
Right. And instead of putting it right back up, he decides to dribble out kitty corner, not knowing the score. LeBron James yells at him. He passes it off, and there's a mystery with no time left. So that was kind of the situation that was going on.
And then there was lying. Yesterday. And then there was lying. It was like he turns to LeBron James, and on TV he goes, I thought we were up. And in the press conference afterward, Tyronn Lue says, yeah, he told me he thought we were up. And then afterwards, J.R. Smith goes, no, I knew we were tied the entire time. But there's a million things that could have been the story if that didn't happen. It was one of those games that had everything. JaVale McGee. So JaVale McGee is obviously not very good. He had one of the worst dunk attempts I've ever seen. He was wide open. Did you see that shot attempt?
Yeah, he stuffed himself.
Yeah, he was wide open. No one anywhere near him under the basket and goes and stuffs himself at the rim.
Actually lost the ball on the way up because he jammed the ball on the rim.
So he did that. On top of that, when in overtime, Draymond, when the team was blowing out the Cavaliers, because in overtime, you're crushed after that. There's no coming back. You can't come back from that. And Draymond Green is just having his own personal party. And at one point, you see him looking at somebody at the Cavs bench, and he's doing this mocking, like, cheerleader-like move, like, yay, yay, putting his hands in the air. And it ends up, he's looking at Kendrick Perkins, calling him a cheerleader.
How can you not love him?
I didn't know that part of it.
The video's out there, too. And he's like, team. And he's like mocking. Like, there, it was like someone got fouled. There was like a free throw being shot. And meanwhile, Draymond's just looking right at Kendrick Perkins. And Ken Perkins has got that face.
That's the thing. Perk is capable of a lot of things. I don't know if I'd mess with him.
I'm going to kill you after this game.
Yeah, seriously.
Draymond was having the time of his life. And afterwards, so this is okay, so this is part of the press conference. Once again, remember, LeBron James was so pissed at questions about J.R. Smith, he walks out of the press conference and then says this to the reporters.
Be better tomorrow.
Give me better questions tomorrow.
Again, I don't blame LeBron James at all because...
Well, you don't have to say be better tomorrow. That's being an a-hole. Now, being upset about what happened
He is sitting in a situation where he did everything he could. The team had won the game, and there's a player he can't call out for making one of the worst mistakes in NBA Finals history.
I might be wrong, but I think he kind of called out J.R. Smith earlier in his postgame thing without calling him out.
Fine, but the idea that he took it out of the media, for once, I don't have a problem with that. It's the only people he can go against.
Oh, man. He was just so ready. 51 points. The world was against me. No one thought I'd win.
Now we're being really cynical. He wanted to win the game.
Because LeBron James is a horrible egomaniac. That's why.
Whatever. But he wanted to win the game, and J.R. Smith ripped it away from him, as anyone would be upset. And he took it out in the media, and I don't blame him for it.
The only thing he could have said was, you know what, I have to look at the tape. You know, things happen real fast in a situation like that.
He could have said a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I don't blame him. He was pissed off.
So here is Steph Curry and Draymond Green basically dancing on the grave of J.R. Smith.
J.R. dribbling back after the rebound there. It was a wild finish.
It was a crazy game. The way it went down the wire, we were scrambling on that last missed free throw, trying to get the rebound. Saw JR running back towards half court. Kind of didn't know what was going on at the time because we were all trying to find a man in case they tried to get a shot up. But thankfully, time ran out so we could have new life in overtime.
Steve Kerr said that the win, in his opinion, because of the JR play, was lucky, in his words. He said it a couple of times. Do you agree with that assessment, that the win was lucky because of that?
Sometimes you need a little luck. It's, where he got the rebound, he probably could have laid it up. But nonetheless, that's a part of the game. Being locked in, and you gotta know the score. That's just kind of basketball. Like, you gotta know if you're winning or losing or tie. So, we'll take it. And sometimes it's good to be a little lucky. So, hey, Steve, cool.
And Steph, is there any doubt in your mind that J.R. Smith, when he got that rebound and did what he did, thought that his team was ahead in the game? And why?
You have to ask him.
Well, the reason I ask you is because he was in there saying that I knew it was tied, and I was... So I'm just wondering, knowing it was tied, how would you observe what you saw in that situation?
I don't know.
I guess that further goes along with my theory. I thought he was looking for LeBron. I would have looked for LeBron, too. Yes.
Everyone starts laughing.
The media just laughs.
That's fantastic.
What's because Draymond made a face when they said, well, he said that he knew it was done. Draymond goes, like one of those like faces like you just smelled something disgusting. Like, what?
Oh, boy.
And even the media is making fun of him.
just fess up.
And Tyron,
screwed up.
And the best thing is like Tyronn Lue I'm going to throw him under the bus. Yeah. He said we thought we were up. And he frustrated as hell.
Andrew, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
So I'm down in Australia, and so the game really, when George Hill started shooting those free throws, it was probably around, you know, like 12:30 p.m. my time, and we're on a conference call with some, you know, god awful Asian country, and we hear, you know, there's a deal about to be done, and then George Hill is shooting this free throw. My boss has the Cavs winning and the under parlayed. He's set to make about like $2,000 or something like that. And George Hill clanks that free throw, and I hear on the other end of the line, like, my boss trying so hard not to swear, but obviously something comes out. And, you know, big business deal has to go down, and then JR does what he does, and there's just chaos happening. And my boss is like, what's going on? What's going on? And sure enough, it goes into overtime, and my boss is like, you know, absolutely flustered. And so
he pulls a Joe Murray. He screams.
No!
He screams. Yo!
What was the line on that game?
Well, no.
Was it 11 points? Or yeah, 12? So it ended up like being the spread.
I had a friend of mine that had Cleveland minus 11. And it was that close to the backdoor cover at the end of the game. It was fantastic. Golden State. He had Golden State in the 11. Sorry.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
so wow. It was that close to the backdoor cover. So he lost money at the last minute.
All right. Lots going on. We will have that for you. Here are the headlines. I'm a war vet. Off with your head. 98.5 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. A disaster last night for Cleveland as they lose to Golden State with an opportunity with the game tied for J.R. Smith to, with an offensive rebound, just to put up an easy layup. He does not know the score, so he runs away.
Let's relive that moment.
Hill misses. Rebound goes to the Cavs. J.R. Smith brings it back out. Throws it to Hill. Hill shot blocked. And we'll go to overtime. You get the feeling J.R. Smith thought they had the lead. He didn't know the score.
I think exactly. That's a bad mistake by J.R. Smith.
Well, that's a really
well-spoken
electric Mark Jackson.
Well done.
I need to hear the Cavaliers play-by-play call that we've been looking
for. On Deadspin, there's five different play-by-play calls.
Oh, they have the Cavaliers call? Okay.
There's five in five different languages. Okay. All right. And then after the game, LeBron James went on and he said that he got mad at the media.
He got really pissed because the questions kept being asked. And as he was walking out, he said,
"Be better tomorrow."
Be better tomorrow.
So my theory is that I don't blame the guy for that because he can't say anything about the team. Ben, go ahead.
Look, I get that he's frustrated, and you're right about that, Fred. But this is exactly why LeBron is a total jackwagon and a terrible leader when there's no other alpha to sort of like check his ego in the locker room. I think that's why he had his best success in Miami, because Dwayne Wade could kind of like take that jerk out of him a little bit. There's so many other ways he could have gone about it that would have been so much better for the Cavaliers. He could have said, look, he made a mistake. I get it. He's human. We all make mistakes. I still love him as a teammate. We're going to need him in this series. Like, that would have been so much better for him to say than to just go up there and pout and stalk off and yell at the media.
I would have done the same thing that he did.
I know. I mean, being a human being, I understand
that
too.
I would have done that. But Ben,
it doesn't mean I can't rip on him for being a jackwagon. Okay.
But Ben, I'm a flawed human being, and I don't deny that. But I would have done the exact same thing.
There's just so many other ways he could have gone about it that would have been so much more professional.
Of course.
And I think this just goes to the point. He wants to be like Jordan. He wants to rule that team through fear. But he's not, people don't respect him in the same way. He's not as threatening. Like, Jordan literally made his teammates scared to make a mistake.
And also,
like,
he didn't try
themselves if they made that mistake. And J.R. Smith, he'll probably wake up today and feel a little bit bad, but he knows at the end of the day, you know, LeBron's really not going to do anything to him.
And Jordan didn't run off his teammates. He didn't. I mean, he got in fights with them in practice, but he didn't run off Scottie Pippen.
Sure.
You know, Jordan was able to keep guys around, but listen, man, I might have even been worse than LeBron after that game. I would have been furious. Go ahead, John.
He did kind of back up J.R. Smith after the game. Do you have this sound clip?
No.
Okay, you mean pop me up. This is real quick. James did kind of address J.R. and he, while not saying it, he kind of understated that he did make the mistake.
You know, we got to move on. I mean, this game is over and done with. We had our opportunities. I will never give up on JR. It's not my MO. I don't give up on any of my players, so any of my teammates. So I don't think that even needs to be said.
I just think it's funny he says my player.
Right. Yeah. However, Ty Lue just comes out and goes, I'm sick of sticking up for these guys. I'm really.
Well, he's coughing up blood. Did you read about what Ty Lue was going through?
Yeah.
He's like coughing up blood. He's like flipping out. He had to take 2 weeks off because he was panicking to the point where his stomach was falling apart. So
you know who wrote that article? Brian Windhorst.
Oh, really?
Yep.
All I know is that yesterday I kept getting pictures of screen caps of Ty Lue, and people were just saying, all I can think of is Shirley Temples.
Well, that's... Hang on. In that article, it said that he had to cut out Shirley Temples.
Really? That's his drink of choice. He gets the Shirley Temple.
No, I swear to God, in the article, he had to rethink his diet, and he had to stop the Shirley Temple.
Well, here was Ty Lue afterwards. Just, yeah, I mean, the guy, you could tell that he didn't even want to try to put up a front.
What did you say, or what did JR say to you in the locker room about the play at the end of regulation?
He thought it was over.
Thought it was over.
He thought we were up one.
What did you guys try to do to try to regroup from what happened with JR?
I mean, who knows if JR would have made the layup anyway, you know?
Oh, so all right.
It was tough. You know, he had like a little, he could have had a little floor. Somebody was there. Then, you know, you're thinking about calling a timeout, but then Braun was open for a second, and then it just happened too fast. So, I mean, you know, we came into the huddle. You know, we had a chance to win. We had to regroup and, you know, try to win it. But they came out and played well in overtime.
Ty, JR makes the mistake. How hard is it for the team to kind of get their bearing, get their traction in that overtime facing a situation that you didn't even expect to be in?
I mean, we tried. You know, they came out and played well in overtime. And we had some shots, you know, that we didn't make. And they made shots in overtime. So,
Whatever.
Yeah. Listen.
I'm surprised you remembered all of that.
Justin, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the guy who was just talking about hating LeBron, people hating LeBron because of how he just was at the press conference, are the same people that praised Belichick for when they lost, just shutting down the whole media and going, we're on to Cleveland. So I don't get the difference between the two. I get LeBron's a jerk normally most of the time, but when he's ticked off and doesn't want to say anything, us here in Boston rip him apart. But then we praise Belichick for doing the same thing.
Well, Belichick, after the second Giants Super Bowl, was just such a baby. I mean, when they talked to him in the tunnel, they talked to him outside the locker room.
Okay, that wasn't the one where he refused to talk to them. There was one where he didn't even talk to him.
It was the Tyree catch one.
Oh, okay.
He might have refused to talk to them.
And a lot of people called him out, you know, for not doing that. And people called him out all the time for being grumpy.
No. He was being a gigantic baby. It looked terrible. Sure. The optics on it were awful.
Sure.
I don't blame LeBron James with the way he handled the media. Being part of the media and a hardcore sports journalist. Usually, you know, I take the side of the media.
Well, in this sense, I
don't blame him at all.
He did get poked in the eye, and he addressed that as well from Draymond Green, who just
Draymond Green.
It was like right hand to block the shot that LeBron was trying to make, and left hand went zoop, like the Three Stooges jammed right into his eye.
Good.
And looked, all right, this is LeBron talking about what happened with his eye. Here he is.
My eye's been better. it was pretty much blurry, you know, and it kind of got worse and worse as the game went on after I drove and, you know, Draymond poked me right square in the eye. And, you know, so I deal with that over the next couple of days.
And there's Draymond Green just mocking Kendrick Perkins being a cheerleader during the game. I swear to God, there was so much at the end.
I scored 51 points with one eye, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't think that that's part of the storyline.
It would be like Jordan having the flu.
Yeah.
You know,
like Jordan saying, yeah, I had the flu. I could barely walk, but I still scored 38 points.
Yeah.
That's what that would kind of be the same. If Jordan going to the press conference in a wheelchair and saying, yeah, I'm near death, and I still won the game for my team.
But I think Jordan, in fairness, was throwing up behind the bench, and there was some...
No, but I mean, it's him going and making sure people understood afterwards.
But yesterday was everything that I wanted, because I don't want, more than anything, I don't want Cleveland to win. I just don't want LeBron James to win. But I don't like Golden State, so I rooted for chaos, and what we got was chaos. And here's another reason to hate Golden State, is did you hear this? So the ratings, the ratings for the NBA right now, like the playoffs, are the highest they've been in like 10 years. Matter of fact, the game 7 of the Celtics series was the highest rated NBA game that ESPN has had in its history. It was tied for the highest with another Celtics game from 2012. So the ratings are through the roof. Everything's going up. Revenue is going up. Yet yesterday's game in Oakland was not sold out.
What?
They didn't sell it out.
How did I miss this?
That was a story that came out. They said there were 300 upper-level seats, 100 lower-level seats that were available on the primary market. So this is like, I'm going to Ticketmaster and buying a ticket, and they weren't sold. And you know what? That's what's happened. They're so fat and happy with success there. They're just used to it.
It's the Atlanta Braves.
Yep. It was when they had Maddox and everything, they couldn't sell out the playoffs. And so you've got all these guys, and I was like, it's just another trip to the finals. So that's another reason to hate Golden State.
That doesn't make me feel any.
See, I don't hate Golden State either. I dislike LeBron, and I want Golden State to win, but I'm not rooting. The chaos is great.
Besides
don't get me wrong.
Durant, awesome. Who's hateable on that
team? Steph Curry. No. Steph Curry's become such a whiner.
Why?
Oh, he is a whiner. The way he throws his mouthpiece at everyone.
No more than anyone else.
Everyone in the NBA is a whiner.
I think you just people don't like or inventing reasons not to like Golden State.
First of all,
for the same reason that people invent reasons to hate the Yankees or the Celtics when they were good in the 80s.
There's a lot of good reasons to hate those teams. I mean, you could hate the Yankees.
Because they were there every year. People hate Duke for the same reason.
Sure, that is a good reason
Duke
to hate a team.
They slap the floor, and they always have a scrappy white guy that slaps the floor.
But they have some floor slappers. You're right about
scrappy
that.
White guy.
They always had like one scrappy white guy that you had to look at. Like Grayson Allen. Or
like
that
once Bobby
Joe
Hurley was like, you know, it's Bobby Hurley? He kind of set, he was the mold.
Current head coach at Marquette.
Hurley was the mold, and everyone just took eye out to that.
Wojo sucked, and he would just sit there slapping the floor like an idiot.
He was the point guard of that team in that small block that wasn't very good.
They weren't good.
Just had back
and then you had Johnny Dawkins, who was on the bench for like 75 years, and she's waiting for Krzyzewski to die.
Somebody actually makes a great point really quick, Freddie. He goes, the reason Belichick gets away with it at press conferences is because that's his baseline. He's always a dick. LeBron is all over the place. Up when they win, down when they lose. Belichick is always a dick, so he gets a pass.
Fair enough.
I think it's a fair point.
Fair enough, but I don't blame LeBron for yesterday.
Sure.
And I don't know why
but it doesn't
you hate
mean
Golden
I'm still
State,
not going to rip on him.
Considering they have the favorite player of everyone, Draymond Green.
I know. I do like Draymond Green.
Well, he's the greatest. And then Klay Thompson's just nothing.
He's also a whiner.
But he's almost invisible. And then Steph Curry doesn't bother me. And the only one you can hate is Durant for cherry picking. And that he's got
when they had Zaza Pachulia, I hated them.
They still have him.
Well,
he's not playing.
I hate Zaza Pachulia.
You have ruined that player for
just
me.
Just say the word. Oh, Zaza Pachulia. Oh,
damn you. And he hits the J. Can we play that? So I kind of cleanse the
Here's
palate.
Why I don't hate Durant as much is that he couldn't do one bench press in the combine.
Is that true, really?
Oh, yeah. Because his arms are so long, but he couldn't do one. He couldn't get the weight up.
Take a look at him when he came out of Texas after his freshman year. He was a beanpole.
Plus, it's unfair because his wingspan's 8 feet.
Yeah.
And it might be 8 feet. Like his wingspan. So, I mean,
you should like Durant because he single handedly dominated LeBron in the finals last year.
Well, I just want LeBron to lose.
Just say
doesn't mean
word.
I have to like them.
Oh, Zaza Pachulia. We'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Party people, your dreams have not been fulfilled. Wow. Get your ass up and let's get ill. That's right, y'all. You're more than rough. We're calling you bluff. And when it comes to rap,
don't scandalize mine.
985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. If you're like me and you missed the Golden State game last night, it was an affair that apparently was very interesting. You had J.R. Smith again, George Hill at the free throw line, down by one. 5 seconds left, makes the first one, misses the second one. J.R. Smith in position, offensive rebound in position to put it right back up to win the game. He decides to instead run out the clock, not aware of the score. And then now we've been talking about, who are you rooting for? LeBron James with the media. I contend that that Draymond Green is the most fantastic player in the NBA. I love him. Rich making the point that he was looking at Kendrick Perkins and making cheerleader gestures because Kendrick Perkins doesn't play.
It was great, man.
He poked LeBron James in the eye right away. I contend that he's the second best player on that team.
I agree with you. Second most important. As far as the success of that team.
Like, if you did a skills competition.
Sure. Steph Curry would probably kill it.
But the second most important player on that team next to Kevin Durant. Ken, go ahead.
Draymond Green is the most hated Golden State Warrior. He's a cornerstone of it. He's kicking everybody in the onions.
Yes, and well, got him suspended, too.
Okay, and this is a cliche, but if he was on the Celtics, he would be the most popular player in Celtics history. Except for Larry Bird.
The guy would be loved here. He's the one guy on that team, and I can't stand Golden State now. They've completely done a 180 on me over the last several years. I hate what they've become. But Draymond Green is unapologetically himself. He's never changed. He's an agitator. He's an a-hole. He may be a whiner, but you know what? He mocks other players. Like, he's Charles Barkley. He's our modern-day Charles Barkley. He's the guy who's not afraid to say what's on his mind, call out people, and play aggressively, and he helps you win games.
And by the way, he's adjusted his game since college. Like, at Michigan State, and here we go, Fred, Michigan State. At Michigan State, he was the guy. And with 2 minutes left in the game, Izzo didn't trust anyone else to bring up the ball but Draymond Green. Like, he was the guy. So he has taken his game and gone and taken it, obviously he knows his role and that he's that guy, and I think that it's admirable. And I loved him in college. I love him now. I just love Draymond.
No, you make an excellent point. It's easy to criticize when he's on another team, but I mean, think about, all right, what's a local version?
Marchand.
Marchand. He's Brad Marchand. He is. And Bruins fans love him to death, but they cannot stand him. You know, you hate P.K. Subban, but if Subban was on your team, you'd love him. Same thing.
I think that Subban, people realize that if he was on the team, especially now, I mean...
And if people take 5 seconds to watch this guy play, if he was in a Celtic uniform, you'd love him to death.
Well, Marchand is a great comparison, because Draymond has done things, stupid things that he didn't have to do, that got him suspended and in trouble and cost them games.
Yeah.
You could argue that Cleveland won that championship a couple years ago because Draymond was kicking too many people in the nuts, and he was kicked out of one of the games he was suspended.
Mm-hmm.
And so Cavaliers came back. That was the whole 3-1 lead thing, remember?
Yeah.
And by the way, the one storyline that's not being talked about was that if the Cavaliers would have won that game, I mean, who thought that it was going to be as close as it was? I mean, they had a legitimate shot of winning the series.
No,
I don't think
yes.
you can mentally recover from the way that they lost.
Of course. I mean, that was everything.
So,
I mean, it was everything.
Which made it even 10 times more fun. That just, you had it in the palm of your hands. 51 points. You're never going to... He's never played that well in the postseason.
And do we... Are we at a stage now where we don't want, like, a dominant team? I like the idea that Golden State is this way. And I like the idea that the Celtics are...
I don't like that Kevin Durant joined a dominant team.
I hated that. You didn't have a problem with that when it happened.
Well, what I said was, if I was him, I said I didn't like it for the NBA, but if I was him, I don't blame him, because you want to win a ring, you've been frustrated not winning one, go do it. I said it wasn't good for the NBA.
Okay.
I said, but I wouldn't blame him for doing it. If I was him, I might do the same thing.
Well, don't like sit around making fun of other radio shows except for Mike and Mike, which does no longer exist. But there is a show that we've talked about before, and a listener sent me audio of a show in Atlanta that, for a rare occasion, Rich has not heard this audio.
You might remember this guy being the person who had thing called Hug It Out Monday after the Falcons lost the Super Bowl. I mean, this guy's an all-timer. And he used to work for the company, so I think at one point we were told maybe to lay off of him. He doesn't anymore.
Shackles are off, bro.
All right, so here are the headlines.
Touchdown score! Score!
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5 The Sports Hub.